Before we read from Mark chapter 4, as a kid growing up, reading Calvin and Hobbes, the comic strip, it was just super interesting to me. Calvin is this rambunctious, mischievous, kind of adventurous kid. He's got a wild imagination, and he's got this stuffed tiger who he anthropomorphizes into a living counterpart, a friend, sometimes his rival, and this tiger is named Hobbes. And when I got older, I remember it was either when I was in high school or college, I remember a friend pulled me aside because he knew I loved Calvin and Hobbes, and he pointed out that there's something more than just the adventures that this kid Calvin goes on. The comic strip, there's something deeper, more profound under all of that adventure. And as he began to point out all these deeper, more profound topics, I remember thinking, am I even reading the same comic? I mean, you know, this is Calvin and Hobbes. This is like, you know, adventure, being a kid, having a wild imagination, talking to your stuffed animal. And at some point, it eventually dawned on me that this comic was more than just about adventure, some kid's adventure. It was addressing some more profound topics. And sometimes, you know, a story is able to not just address one topic, but actually address something deeper, something more profound. And, you know, there's the stuff on the surface of the story, but as you begin to understand the story more, as you begin to understand the author or whoever's telling you the story a little bit more, you begin to understand some of those deeper underlying layers. And Jesus often uses this technique in his teaching, when he teaches. So if you've been with us here for the past few months, we've been working through this gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and we're arriving today at one of Jesus's big chunks of teaching. And at least in the book of Mark, this is the first time he's doing an extended teaching. And what we'll be reading is a well-known parable. It's called, at least in the ESV, it's titled The Parable of the Sower. And this parable is sort of, I call it like a meta parable. It's a parable about parables. It's like parable inception. This parable that Jesus tells to the crowd and to his disciples, he's teaching about the way he teaches. He's making a comment about his teaching. So as we read our passage, I'd like for us to consider three questions for this morning. Like a good preacher, I have three questions for us. The first question that we'll be answering this morning is, what is Jesus' goal whenever he preaches? What is Jesus' goal whenever he preaches? And our second question for this morning is, how do people respond to Jesus' teaching? How do people respond to Jesus' teaching? And then third and finally, how can we get the most out of Jesus' teaching? How can we get the most out of what Jesus teaches us? So first question is, what is Jesus' goal whenever he teaches? Second is, how do people respond to Jesus' teaching? And third, how can we get the most from Jesus' preaching? So with that, let's read from our passage for this morning, Mark chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1 and we'll go down to verse 12. Mark writes this, "Again, he, Jesus, began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produce grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, as we look into this teaching that your son Jesus gave while he was here on earth, Lord, may you give us the grace and the mercy and your spirit to peel back those layers to see what Jesus was saying about the way that he teaches, what he was saying and how we might benefit from that. So Lord, this morning, teach us, open our ears to hear you, and to hear from your word. Pray also in your son's name. Amen. So our first question for this morning is, what is Jesus' goal whenever he teaches? When Jesus is teaching, what is at least one of his intentions, the one that Mark records? What is his goal? And to answer that, let's look again in our passage, beginning in verse 1. We'll just read 1.5 verses. It says, again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. So here in these first two verses, 1.5 verses, Mark is setting us up, sort of the setting. What's going on? What's the scene? And what's happening is Jesus is teaching. He's beside the sea. And just like we saw in chapter 3, the crowd is getting big. They're getting so big that he decides to retreat into a boat again. And we saw that in chapter 3 as well. And what's happening is he's on the boat along with his disciples, and along the shoreline is where the crowd is. And they're waiting to see what would happen next. Is Jesus going to do some miracle? What's he going to say? Is he going to teach us something? And when we get to verse 2, it says that Jesus, he was teaching them many things in parables. He was teaching them many things in parables. So that suggests that a good portion of Jesus' teaching ministry was done in parables. In fact, if you scan through the book of Mark, most of the time Jesus is teaching in public, it's done through parables. And you also see that as primarily the case in the other gospels as well. So what are parables? Parables are a little bit more than just simple illustrations or analogies that we use to teach some lesson. The Greek word that we get the word parable or parabola from, if you're into math — I was a math major — that Greek word, if you take the Hebrew equivalent, the one that's found in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word can also be translated as riddle. Riddle. Or the verb form would be to pose a riddle, to give a riddle. And it's with that sort of mysterious, almost enigmatic sense that we start to get to the essence of what a parable actually is, what it's intended for. And I don't know about you, but have you ever read one of Jesus' parables and, you know, you're thinking, what is he trying to get at? I mean, maybe you've never been there before. Maybe you've got every single parable down, or maybe you've never been there before because you don't read the Bible often. Or, you know, maybe you're like me, and you read these parables, and you're scratching your head, and you're thinking, you know, what does it mean, binding the strong man? We saw that last week in a parable. I mean, what does that entail? What does it mean, you know, later on when Jesus says, you know, be a shrewd manager? There's once a shrewd manager. What is that? If you've ever thought that, if you've ever been puzzled by one of these parables, then you're in good company. You might actually be getting closer to what a parable actually is. You see, Jesus didn't always teach to be clear, at least not immediately clear. sometimes he taught to puzzle. He taught something, there was something more profound that was under the surface of what he was teaching. And when he gets to parables, when he teaches through parables, more often than not, the intention is to puzzle the listener. He wants to puzzle the listener rather than immediately enlightening them. So that gives us the answer to our first question. The first question is, what is Jesus' goal whenever he teaches? The answer to that is, Jesus' goal is to make us ponder over the puzzles. Jesus' goal is to make us ponder over the puzzles. He wants us to question the parable. He wants questions to be raised inside of us. So Jesus could have just, you know, every time he taught, he could have just given a simple, straightforward illustration that you know, nails it home, and it just clicks right away in all of his listeners. But instead, Jesus chooses to use parables. Why? Because parables puzzle the listener. They challenge the listener. They make the listener stop and think. You know, what is he talking about? Does this apply to me? Is there anything that I need to change in myself? They need to ponder over what they've just heard. So parables are supposed to bring up these questions. They're supposed to begin this moment of self-examination. And it's through that internal struggle, that internal questioning, that we come out with a new or renewed understanding of what Jesus is talking about. So what is Jesus' goal whenever he teaches? His goal is to make us ponder over the puzzles. Underneath his teachings are puzzles that challenge and listen the listener to ponder over what he just said. And because his teachings are so puzzling, they're met with a variety of responses. And that brings us to our second question, which is, how do people respond to Jesus' teaching? How do people respond to what he teaches? If the goal of his teaching is to puzzle his listeners and to make them ponder, then what are the different ways that people end up responding? How do they react? And to answer that, let's take a look at the content of Jesus' parable. It begins in verse 3, but we'll pick it up in verse 2. It says, "And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" This parable is, as I said, it's one of the more well-known parables of Jesus. And it's one of his several teachings. He only has a few that have an explanation attached to it. Jesus actually gives a full explanation. If you look down, and if you have a Bible or if you have a device, if you scroll down or look down to verse 13, Jesus actually gives an explanation of this parable to his disciples and to some other people. And I'll just read it quickly for us. We'll begin in verse 14. It says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But for those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So in Jesus' own explanation of the parable, here's what we know. For the sower, well, it doesn't explicitly say who the sower is or who he represents. There are theories, but we get a clue because the sower is the one who sows the seed. And the seed, he does tell us what that is. It's the word. It's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus teaches. So the sower is someone who is sowing that teaching. And then you have the different soils. There are four types of soils that are described here. The first is the soil that is considered the beaten path, the one that people walk over and trod on. Now, this is, represents when the word or Jesus' teaching is snatched up by Satan before it could really do anything. It never takes root. It's sort of the seed just bounces off the surface. And this could be, I mean, it could be referring to someone who is just not interested in what God has to say. Things in the Bible are irrelevant. It doesn't even sink in. It just bounces off that person. So I don't know. Maybe we have some focus in life that causes that. Maybe it's our work, our family, our academics, something that causes us to believe that the word is irrelevant to us. That's the seed that falls on the path. The second type of soil is the rocky soil. And the seed that falls on the rocky soil, this is when the word or the teaching, Jesus' teaching, is joyfully accepted. But I would say it is sort of like an emotional response to Jesus' teaching. And what happens when that joy isn't there, when those emotions are gone, and instead you are faced with the troubles of the world? Does what you've learned from Jesus stick? And what happens with rocky soil is it doesn't stick. That person ends up turning away because of what they're experiencing. And then the third type of soil is a thorny soil. This is when the word is heard and it's accepted, but so are other things. There are other plants in the garden and they have thorns. This is when the person hears the word and accepts it, but is divided between what Jesus is teaching and what someone else is teaching. Maybe it's the things of this world. Maybe it's materialism that he's also captured by. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's academia. Maybe it's success. Something is acting as another master. And this is where the person is divided between two masters. There's Jesus and his word and his teaching. And then there's something else. And when they both grow up, eventually one chokes out the other. And then finally, we have the good soil. The good soil is when the word is heard, it's accepted, and it's applied. So this is someone who hears Jesus' teaching and wrestles with it, ponders over the puzzles, and then chooses to live a transformed life out of that. And that's when he begins to bear fruit for the word and begins to share with others what he has been taught. Now, there are a lot of comments that I can make. Again, this is a popular parable, but I would like for us to focus this morning on those four soils. And remember, the second question that we're asking for this morning is, how do people respond to Jesus' teaching? How do they respond? Especially if it's puzzling in nature, what are the different responses that they can have? So these soils represent the different ways that people can respond. And up to this point in Mark, we've seen a whole slew of different responses. I mean, they are ranging from, I mean, you have the disciples, this group who, Jesus says, come and follow me. And immediately they drop everything. They follow Jesus. They commit to him. And then you have folks who are captured by his teaching. They're amazed by what Jesus is teaching. And they're compelled by it. But they haven't made a decision to maybe commit to it yet. They're interested. And then we also see others who reject Jesus' teaching. They think it's too radical, or there's something confusing about it, or it doesn't jive well with their own understanding of Scripture. We saw Calvin gave us a sermon a few weeks ago where the Herodians and the Pharisees wanted to actually kill Jesus because their thinking of what Scripture says didn't align with what Jesus was teaching. That was another reaction we saw. And then we saw last week that Jesus' own family thought that, you know, he crazy. Jesus was just out of his mind. And we also saw last week that there were scribes who basically said what Jesus was teaching, what he was doing, that was all the devil's work. The devil was empowering him to do this. And then you get this amorphous, gigantic crowd that's following Jesus wherever he goes. They seem to be everywhere. And, you know, these people, they could be following Jesus for any number of reasons. They could be there because they want to see a miracle. They could be there because they have a friend who needs to be healed. They could be there because they're genuinely interested in what Jesus has to say and wants to be changed, wants to follow them. But whether or not they will in the end, that is yet to be tested. We don't know what they'll do. But what we do see is that these kinds of responses, even though they're all over the spectrum and the possibilities of how you could respond to Jesus seem endless, the parable comments on this. And the parable says that despite all of these different responses we may have, there are actually only two types that Jesus cares about. There are two types of responses because there are, if you think about it, there are only two types of soil. There's productive soil and there's unproductive soil. There's soil that is productive with seed that yields a crop, and there's soil, either it's the path or the rocky soil or the thorny soil, eventually the seeds don't grow. So on the one hand, you have the good soil. These are the ones who hear Jesus' teaching and they choose to invest enough to ponder over the puzzles. They choose to invest time into discovering more about what Jesus is teaching. But on the other hand, you have the unproductive soil. You have these people who hear Jesus' teaching, hear what the Bible is saying, but they choose not to invest into it. They choose not to get into it because maybe Jesus is teaching, they're just not paying attention, the word just bounces off their brains, they haven't had the coffee for the morning, or maybe they have worries in life, maybe things are tough, and the Bible just doesn't make sense to them at that point. Whatever the reason, the unproductive soil is the one who in the end doesn't choose to invest and go all the way into Jesus' teaching. So there are only two ways that people can respond to Jesus, which gives us our answer to our second question. If our first point was that the goal of Jesus' teaching was to make us ponder over the puzzles, then how do people respond to his teaching? People respond to Jesus' teaching by how they choose to invest in it. People respond to Jesus' teaching by how they choose to invest in it. And this brings us to our final question. How can we get the most out of Jesus' teaching? In other words, what does it take to make that kind of worthwhile investment in what Jesus is teaching? How can we be productive? How can we be that good soil? For that, let's look at the final part of our passage for this morning. Let's pick it up in verse 9. And Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Here we see in verse 10 that there's this subset of the crowd. It's not the whole crowd that was there from before, but it's a smaller subset of them. And they're with the 12 disciples, and they approach Jesus and ask him about the parables. And this subset consists of those who thought about what Jesus said. Maybe they pondered over some questions. They had some questions of their own. But it was enough that they were interested, and they were willing to invest their time to approach Jesus and get some further explanation. And that's when he gives this explanation and also the full explanation of the parables. He lets them in on what the parable is saying. And their curiosity is what brings them to Jesus. So in Jesus' reply, we see a motif that that Pastor Enoch alluded to last week towards the end of his sermon. This idea of being on the inside versus the outside. Inside versus the outside. And verse 11 says that Jesus said to them, "To you has been given," these are talking to people on the inside, "to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables." So what is this inside-outside motif? For those who are curious enough to approach Jesus, the ones who pondered over the puzzles, those who chose to invest in Jesus' teaching, those were the ones who were given the full explanation. Those are the ones on the inside. Those are the ones with the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those who didn't find it interesting enough, thought it was irrelevant, the teaching just bounced off of them, when they heard it, they chose to not invest. And it's these people who Jesus would consider on the outside. They were left with only the surface level parable, the surface level story. And this being on the inside and outside, it's not like it's some secret club that's invite only. It's actually anyone who wants to be a part of it, anyone who wants to be on the inside, they just need to want it. They just need to desire it and be willing to invest into it. So to relate us back to what the parable is saying, the two types of soil, there's good productive soil and there's unproductive soil. Those willing to be on the inside, those willing to ask the questions, to invest a little bit more, those are the good soil. And the others who choose not to invest, those are on the outside. Those are the unproductive soil. So how can we get the most from Jesus' teaching? How can we get the most from his teaching? Or to put it another way, how can we be the good soil? How can we be on this inside? I'd like to offer us three subpoints, three suggestions of how we can get the most from Jesus' teaching. The first way to get the most from Jesus' teaching is to take the time to listen. Take the time to listen. If you scan through this passage for this morning and you look for commands that Jesus is giving to his listeners, he gives three commands, or he gives three imperatives. And they're found right at the beginning and at the end of the parable. It makes it easy for us. In verse 3, it says, listen. That's the first command. Listen. Second command is behold. So listen and behold. And then down in verse 9, it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That let him hear is, it's an imperative. It's an entreaty. It's an invitation to hear. So what Jesus is doing is he's inviting his audience to perk up their ears, to pay attention to what he's saying, to listen, to take time to listen. And how do we take time to listen? We take time to listen by, you know, doing what you're doing right now, listening to a sermon, listen to someone preach. Or it could be being a part of a small group and discussing what you're learning through the Bible. You could also take time to listen by going to Sunday school, by learning the Bible through Sunday school, or reading the Bible on your own, doing personal devotions. That's another way to take time to listen to what Jesus is saying. Or, you know, even listening to sermons online. That's legit. That is taking time to listen. And it's all of these ways that we take time to listen to Jesus' thinking. And that's the first way. That's the first step to getting the most out of what Jesus is teaching. Take the time to listen. The second way to get the most out of Jesus' preaching is to ask questions. To ask the questions. To follow it up with questions. When Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's leaving the hearers actually with a responsibility. He's saying that you need to now enter into that mold, that mode of questioning, of pondering, of self-examination, and you need to wrestle with what you've just heard. Does it make sense? Does it change anything about what you need to do, how you need to be? And we see this from the crowd that approaches Jesus. If you go down to verse 10, the English translation doesn't quite capture it, but the verbs that are in verses 10 and 11, they express what we call continuous action. And maybe the more accurate translation would be something like verse 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 were asking him about the parables. And then verse 11, and he was saying to them. So this continuous action gives us a sense that this needs to be continuous, that you always have to be asking questions, that you always have to be pondering about what the Bible is saying. Ask further questions. And the ways that we can do this is we have sermon discussion guides available here at BCC, at least for our English congregations, for every single sermon. And those give you a good starting point of maybe some of the questions you could ask. And you could use them on your own, you could use them in small groups. But I would encourage you maybe to grab a copy of that. You could discuss the sermons with other people. You could discuss what you've been learning in the Bible with other people. Ask questions. You could ask about things you don't understand. You can ask about maybe things you don't agree with, or things you find confusing, or things you don't like. In the end, it's just, the key is ask, ask, and ask. Keep on asking. Keep on asking questions. So the first way to get the most out of Jesus' teaching is to take the time to listen. Take the time to listen to what he's teaching you. And the second way is to ask questions, and ask more questions. And the final way that we can get the most out of Jesus' teaching is found in verse 8. This is describing the good soil. It says that the other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So here we see that the good soil, the productive soil, the one who chooses to invest in Jesus' teaching, there's a yield. There's yield of crop, and it's 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And over history, different historians have debated whether or not those numbers, 30, 60, and 100, whether or not those are typical of a ancient Palestinian, you know, agricultural harvest, or whether or not there's some like divine intervention in play, whether or not those are miraculous numbers. But whatever the case is, a case could be made for either side, but the way that we can get the most out of Jesus' teaching is by trusting that there will be a yield. So the answer the third way that we could get the most out of Jesus' teaching is to trust that it will be worth it in the end. Trust that it will be worth it in the end. We have to trust that the time we invest into Jesus' teaching, the time we invest into asking questions and discussing about what we've been learning in the Bible, we have to trust that all of that time, all of that effort, all of that energy will be worth it in the end, that there will be a crop, that there will be a yield. And that yield could be in your sharing that teaching with someone else. It could be you sharing your faith with someone else. But either way, we need to trust that the way that we're growing, the way that we're learning from Jesus, eventually it will have a yield. Eventually it will be worth it. And that's the third way that we can get the most out of Jesus' teaching. We need to trust that it will be worth it in the end. So how can we get the most out of Jesus' teaching? By taking the time to listen, by asking questions, and by trusting that it will be worth it in the end. So as we consider what Jesus teaches us through these weeks, if you come on Sundays and listen to the sermons, or if you read the Bible on your own, as you consider what the Bible is saying, what Jesus is saying, I encourage you to consider that Jesus' goal when he's teaching you is to make us ponder over the puzzles. And when you hear Jesus teaching, there are two ways to respond. And the way you respond is by how you choose to invest in what he's teaching you. And if you want to get the most out of Jesus' teaching, then we can do that by taking the time to listen, asking questions, and by trusting that in the end, it will all be worth it. Let's pray. Our Father God, Lord, this is in a lot of ways convicting to me because I know I could use more time searching through Scripture, discussing it, asking questions, figuring out for myself if this is true, if what the Bible says is correct. And Lord, it's convicting for me because I know I don't invest enough time. I don't go all the way. Sometimes I don't trust that it will be worth it. But Lord, help us. Give us your Spirit. Help us to understand what we're reading. Help us to wrestle over what we're reading, to ask those questions, to ponder those puzzling stories, those parables. And Lord, as we read through the Bible, as we learn from what your Son taught us, Lord, help us to yield some sort of harvest, some sort of fruit. Help us to be productive in our time that is spent here, in our time that is spent in your word. So Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would be with us, and that you would enlighten us by your Spirit, Lord. And I pray also in your Son's name. Amen.